The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late. There's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's. That's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
I like that song. It's kind of amusing to listen to the words, but I tend to think that politics a lot is just like a playing a game of chess. You know, trying to think 3, 4, 5 steps ahead of your opponent and try to think of what they're going to do. And I do that a lot, trying to think of how are they going to screw us on this coming election. And as I was saying to Wayne, I think that this COVID is going to come back into play. It's going to be like Groundhog Day again, and we're going to have a repeat. And nobody, it's too dangerous. You know, you stay home. We'll mail you a ballot, and as soon as we get it, we'll change it for you. So it's not looking good, folks. But I keeping your fingers crossed is one thing, but I don't know what we can do to prevent them since they are in power now. I'm just hoping that we overwhelm them again like Donald Trump did and just, make it so hard for them to cheat that it's obviously going to show their hand, that extra ace they got up their sleeve is going to fall out on the table, and everybody's going to see what they're up to. So, as promised, we have Ron O'Donnell, a law professor, a retired attorney, an expert in the mortgage fraud industry, and helping people to maintain ownership of their homes and stop the theft of their property. And we're gonna go from there. Ron, welcome aboard.
Thank you so much for inviting me. And I'll tell you what, since I only found out about all of you wonderful hosts and guests on RBN around July of this year, and my goodness, each host is better than the next. I mean, one after another, I'm really learning a lot listening to this show. I listen to it in the background while I'm doing my work, probably about 8 or 9 hours a day now. And some are better than others. I'm not, you know, putting anybody down. Everybody has different opinions. But one opinion that I'm trying to throw out there to the American public through this network that I have been unable to get across, even though I was on the Central Committee for the Democratic Party after 8 years, for a total of 6 years, even though I had three attorneys, all women. I think women like Irish guys, but whatever. 71-year-old Baldwins especially, I guess, right? No, it was what we believed in. And the only ones that had the courage to speak about it happened to be females, which is amazing to me. Where are the men, is what I used to say. They aren't here. You know why they weren't there defending homeowners' rights? Because they were cowards. Oh, yeah, they're a member of the American Bar Association. But they're cowards. What's going on in this country is worthy of an American revolution. It is an attack on the middle class in this country, white, middle class, middle to upper workers, not the 1%, but the little guy. That's a little guy. In other words, the non-welfare people, the people that actually served their time in the military, lost their legs, lost their arms, and now they're losing their home? No. That is wrong. My belief and our belief was, and I might add here, denounced by the Democratic Central Committee as an unworthy platform item, because when I put it on there, I was an advocate to protect homeowners from being evicted from their properties. I was an advocate, and I'm going all the way back now to 2008. Homeowners' rights. Homeowners have rights. Homeowners have been denied their rights. And I pushed this and pushed this. I'm going all the way back to now, 2014 through 2018. Here in San Bernardino County, here in Southern California, here in the California Central Committee with proposed legislation, here all the way up to the president. And it was completely ignored. So that's a good way to open the show, I hope.
Yep, absolutely. We had a person call, I think it was Ann, was it Ann, Ron, that was trying to reach out to you? So
yeah,
hopefully if she's listening, hopefully she can call back in.
Yeah, but I hope she does too. Because on the last call, I told her my AOL address. I told her my Gmail address. I didn't give her my phone number. And I think she's computer challenged, is what I think. Whatever. But anyway, for anybody out there, 310-902-7695. Now, I'm putting that out there, and 145,000 Democrats will be listening to that. I'm going to be running again for California State Senate, just so you know. Where I'm at today at 71 years old, I don't expect to become wealthy running for politics like the rest of them. No, what I want is to get a coalition together of our, and I'm hoping, you know, I can do it, because apparently the Democrats rejected that argument. They rejected on the Central Committee protecting homeowners' rights. You can look at all this legislation. Trillions and trillions of dollars being spent on everything but, and I hate to say it this way, but I'm going to say, white men's protection of white people's wives and children's and families' homeownership in America. Yet, we have millions this month. I mean, it's incredible. Alone, here in California, crossing the border, because somebody put the word out, you're going to be able to get whatever you want, because we're taking down the American homeowner here in the United States of America. And if you're one of the middle class, you, I want you to know, for eternity, your failure will be not that you didn't do everything right. It's that you didn't have the courage to stand up for what you have.
Well, a lot of people will, you know, they just think they have no chance against the system, that, you know, and the people that are in dire straits, the ones that are in foreclosure or are being threatened with foreclosure, the reason they're in foreclosure is they don't have the money. I mean, they can't afford to go fight it or anything like that with a lawyer. So a lot of, and most people are afraid to try to do anything on their own. But you know what? Either way, you're going to get kicked out of your house. So you might as well at least, you know, somebody's going to try to kill me, I'm going to put up a fight. I mean, you know, I may not have a knife, I may not have a gun, and they may have a, you know, whatever. You know what? I'm going to be like that frog that's hanging out of the bird's mouth, saying, with my one hand around his throat, saying, I'm not going easy, you know. So, and I fought him myself for 5.5 years.
I understand what you went through. You went through hell. And for the listeners, I'm going to let you know, we were losing our home here. Now, I got out of law school with a doctor's degree in law after 8 years in 2000. Oh, wait, I got out in 1978, excuse me. And in 2000, I think it was 8, yep, we bought this house in 2005. We put down $150,000. 2008, we're getting evicted. Now, I lived in Florida at the time, and the wife lived in California because we weren't getting along. But that's not the issue. When she called me up, she said, Ron, and she's crying. And I couldn't get, you know, her to pick another breath, you know, to get the words out. And I said, Vanessa, what's going on? You know, and I'd been in Florida 10 years. We were divorced for 10 years. What's going on, honey? You know, she said, Ron, I'm losing my house. We're getting evicted, me and my daughter, 13. I'm moderately making my own way in Florida. I was doing pretty good. After listening to her, I said, honey, I said, Vanessa, I married you because I loved you, and I still love you. I couldn't live with you, but I loved you all along, and I never, never stopped loving you or my daughter. I'll see you in the morning when you pick me up at the airport. And I left. I had a roofing business in Florida, and we were doing pretty good. I mean, with the hurricane and all, there were 100,000 homes in Homestead, Florida, that needed homes, you know, roofs on them. And I told my guys, hey, you got to start your own business now and move on, because I'm moving on. I got to get back to California. So when I got back here, and I saw the mess, the paperwork that she had signed, I went, oh, my God. The doctor's degree in law, I don't understand any of this. Nothing. So then I, you know, made my very first video, which I'll send you guys, in the garage, where I had packed up all the belongings, you know, that I felt were valuable. And when I said, no, no, I'm going to do whatever I can to stop this. I can do something, but this isn't going down like this. No. And that was in 2008.
Yeah, that's when all the... That's when the big debacle happened. That you, I'm sure you probably saw the movie. I just was just thinking of while you were talking. The Big Short. The Big Short. Did you ever see that movie?
99 Homes. I'm talking about 99 Homes now. The Big Short. 99 yep. Homes. They yep. were all put down on Facebook and the internet, so that people didn't read them or didn't get to view them. But I'm telling the listeners, start looking at this stuff, because it's happening again right now in your face. We are coming into an economic collapse 10 times greater than what happened in 2008. And all these foreclosure companies and banks and servicers have been gearing up for this moment now. The Supreme Court of the state of Florida, and everybody applauds the state of Florida. Oh, it's the place to go. Oh, they're the greatest. Well, did you know the Supreme Court issued an edict to push the foreclosures along, to get them off the docket, to get them off of our paperwork, because they're so voluminous. That's one state. I'm in California. How do I know that in California? Because I have people that contact me 100 emails a day from various states in the entire country regarding foreclosures. And the statistics that you're listening to by, you know, the realtor boards and the Mortgage Bankers Association, well, hell, they're the ones that are doing it. But what I'm here to tell this audience is there are now 12 million people in jeopardy of losing their homes because they took the 18-month moratorium and didn't understand the terms of it. And they're going to be out in the street. Now, why?
Hey, Ron, we got a break coming up. So I want to give out the number, 512-248-8252. Call in, get to talk to Ron, ask your questions, and see what else, see what he can do for you. If you know anybody that's in trouble, or if you're in trouble, call us out. Hold on, we'll be right back.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream. But we're never gonna survive unless we get a little.
Alrighty, we're back. Okay. Let's see. Where is my... Okay, Ron, you still with me there, buddy?
I sure am. I'm waiting
okay.
for a caller.
Yeah, I am I'm looking right now. That's what I was hesitating for a second. And, well, I guess nobody has got any problems with their mortgages. So... Why don't you go in and to the discussion about exactly how it is that they are getting over on the homeowner in the courtroom and with these, you know, you were talking about everybody gearing up for the next wave of foreclosures. I know that the document creators, there's companies out there that do nothing but make documents for law firms to use in foreclosures, and they're creating mortgage paperwork, making the
we lost Tom there for a few seconds, I bet. If you want to pick up there, Ron, and fill in until we get him back. Wait, there he is.
Sure.
Hey, Tom, we lost you. Tom, we lost you for a few seconds. You might want to back up.
Oh,
no problem.
Okay. Where'd you lose me at there, buddy?
Well, my train of thought hasn't been lost. You were commenting that the paperwork is fraudulent. The paperwork is bad. But what can you do about it, guys? What can you do? And wait a minute. We're going to stop here. Stop here. Stop here and think. You feel that because you took out a loan and you didn't pay it, that you're obligated and you should lose your home. Well, when you have that mentality, then give them the keys. And millions of people did. Just give them the keys. Because you're now emotional, but you're not legal. You're just acting in emotion. I'm saying take the emotion totally out of it. And look at what happened. Oh, we had a worldwide financial crisis in 2008. We had our government taxpayer dollars put $4 trillion into the bank. For what? Oh, to pay off these loans. All the loans. Why would they do that? Because they knew they were fraudulent. Who are they? The U.S. Treasury. They knew. They found out at the top level, the U.S. government. Look at Ritson versus Jackson Masonry. U.S. Supreme Court, unanimous decision. Found out that the loans were fabricated, forged, and illegal. And that meant that they were unenforceable. Why would that be? Why would the Supreme Court of the United States think that? You know, and this was like 2020 when they actually got to that case, Ritson versus Jackson Memorial. What they were deciding was, oh my God, that's the reason for the worldwide depression. That was a depression, folks.
So and then when they pulled this off, Ron, how tell everybody how the banks and the mortgage company, how they benefited from this by taking people's homes, because it wasn't just the value of the home, it's the whole scheme behind it on the money that's coming in from the homeowner to pay for their mortgage and where all that money goes.
Okay, hold on. Now the banks, you have to understand, the mortgage was paid off by the Treasury Department. You can't leave that out.
No, sir, you
what
cannot.
What was that $4 trillion of taxpayer money over a period of 3 years handed to the banks that are now foreclosing on you? For that money was supposed to be applied to the homeowner's loan. For restitution, which would have meant that every damn fraudulent loan in the real legal world would have been void.
All right, hang in there, Ron. We got another break, and we'll be right back.
Right.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought.
Learning to fly around the clouds. What goes up must come down.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
See my friends coming, riding many a mile. Friends, you get some silver, you get a little gold. What did you bring me, my dear friends? Keep me from the gallows pole. What did you bring me? Keep me from the gallows pole. Silver, I couldn't get no gold. You know that we're too damn poor. From the gallows pole.
Alrighty, we're back. So, that's back when money was real. Get me some silver, bring me some gold, save me from the gallows pole. And you can kind of correlate that to having your house stolen. You know, what do you got that I can keep my home? Because paper money is useless. And, Ron, you... We have a caller if you would like to take him. If not, you can finish up what you were saying, and then we'll bring him on.
Take the caller, and then we'll go back to the discussion. It's okay.
No, that's fine. I didn't, you know, like I say, I like the people to get to complete their thoughts. Okay, well, we got Fred in Michigan, buddy.
What I wanted to finish up with. I'm trying to tell people with this message that the state court level is geared to failure for the homeowner. The only hope that we have is filing bankruptcy, a Chapter 7 bankruptcy. They have a 7 and a 9 and an 11 and a 13 and a 12 and for farmers and so forth and so on. No, a Chapter 7 specifically where you attack the validity of the lien. That's all it is. That loan is nothing more than a lien, which forces them to file a proof of claim where you can go ahead and attack back. The homeowner can attack back. And while this process is going on, and I have some now in bankruptcy for 5 years, while it's going on, they're not making a monthly payment, and they're sitting in their property, and they're saving their money. And you know what? I had one guy, he saved $200,000 in house payment in bankruptcy. And you know what he did? He dismissed the bankruptcy, said, I don't want to do bankruptcy anymore, and closed it out, took the $200,000, bought a house 100%, free and clear, and he moved there. It was a downsize, but he got it paid off. He has no monthly payment. That's what I'm trying to tell you people. You have to be activists.
And this in Florida, they were paying the judges a bounty to clear the dockets. So what kind of a chance do you think you got there? You know, the judges like, okay, let's go. What do you got? Boom, 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 out the door. Thank you very much. Next.
One right now I'm working with, and we're doing this. I mean, I have, you know, I always say bankruptcy is the last resort. You know, fight in state court, fight all the way up to where the judge has the opportunity to make his signature. And one day before he does, you don't allow him to make that signature of foreclosure against you. You file your bankruptcy. I recommend for people that aren't into this world, that are learning for the first time, do it a week before, which I recommend to most of my people, because you don't want that signature. You won't even give him a reason to be able to sign it, because we already can predict what he's going to sign, because he's been ordered, especially in Florida, by the Florida Supreme Court to do so. And that's called groveling. Our whole entire court system, I don't care what state you're in, but if you're a member of the bar, your job is to learn how to grovel. Your first job is to get that judge's signature, because without that judge's signature, there is no foreclosure. There is no sheriff coming out to your house to take your belongings and your clothes and your disabled American veteran uncle in his wheelchair and push him out on the road, which I've seen.
Yep.
Don't
I agree.
File the bankruptcy. But anyway, let's take the next caller.
Okay. Well, all righty. Fred, are you there, Freddie?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you got the floor, my friend.
Okay.
Hi, Freddie.
Hey there, Ron.
How you doing, buddy?
So I did have a bank job for a couple years, and I knew the president, and he, in our lunches, would explain different was a banking business. And of course, the loan process was described, addressed. And what he instructed me on, and I've re-learned this from a presentation, and you mentioned a woman, Anne. So for Anne and others to become enlightened regarding the subject matter that you're presenting, Ron, there's a really stellar presentation by the title, Beat the Bankers, Eliminate Debt. Beat the Bankers, Eliminate Debt. It's on BitChute. And it's someone of your integrity and scholarship who gives this presentation. He might even be a CPA. Beat the Bankers, Eliminate Debt. It explains that whole process. And what I want to focus on is actually the mechanics of it, because the mortgage is a presumed valid contract. So in this process, whether it's a mortgage, student loan, car loan, it's all the same, I think, because a promissory note is created by the presumed contracting borrower who assigns their autograph as an authorized signature on the promissory note. The promissory note is deposited as a cash deposit. And then the bank, credit union, whatever, issues their own draft of credit equity value denominated in FRN against that promissory note cash deposit. And their accounting record would bear that out. It would obviously bear that. So for this contract to be valid, there would have to be the signature of the offering party, so the receiving party to whom supposedly the loan is provided or granted. Their signature is on the promissory note as an authorized signature, their autograph as an authorized signature. So the offering party has to sign on to it also. So I'm wondering, can't someone challenge the validity of this mortgage on the basis that the contracting borrower, by virtue of his or her promissory note that is deposited as a cash deposit, that in reality is the funding source for the so-called loan? Bank, credit union, yada, yada, does not loan anything. They simply exchange, issue their own draft against the cash deposit promissory note, and then they extort principal and interest. So, and then I bet you anything, there is not the bank or credit union representative person who's engaged as the offering party. I bet they don't sign on to this. I bet their signature is not on that promissory note contract. So, I think all the loans are the same way. All the same. The promissory note must be, by Federal Reserve banking regs, it must be established as legal tender currency to be deposited as a cash deposit.
Well, I'm not sure we lost Ron, but I think...
So you asked me to be silent and listen to the end of the
Okay.
And I'm being silent. I'm right here. I'm listening. Let the man speak. Now, I'm groveling to you. You know, you told me unconditionally to listen to the audience. And this man has a lot to say, and I love it. But let's let him finish, okay?
Okay.
Okay. And then the other thing, relative to the house and the land, the title. Ron, is there a legislative, you said you're going to run for state senate. I'm sure by now in your life you know whether there's a legislative act in the state of California that establishes compelled or compulsory registration recording of one's private property land title. And here's what I know. It's called the constructive trust.
Okay.
The act,
you asked me
the act of recording the private property land.
Let me answer that question, and we'll go on to a further question. My answer is California Civil Code 2924. Look it up. That's where the Congress back then, to simplify foreclosures, took the authority away from the courts, that's why they call it non-judicial, and inserted it into a private party called a trustee, and the foreclosures are issued by a trustee. That trustee could be nothing but a drunk, but he has the right over your property because in a trustee deed, you've agreed to give him the title to your property when you bought the property, which I believe is totally unconstitutional. Now, I'm going to allow you to proceed, but thank you for giving me that courtesy. California Civil Code 2924, boom, look at it. Go on.
Okay. So when I queried the state of Michigan Treasury Department demanding a hard copy of the legislative act that establishes compulsory registration, they said it doesn't exist. So I asked, well, what happened?
Well, help me here. Please help me here. I'm just asking a question of you. What is compulsory registration? I have never heard that term.
Well, that's my term. Compelled performance.
I know. What is,
you know, statutory, meaning that when one acquires, purchases land, there's always a title.
That needs to be recorded in the county recorder's office. That's fine. Okay.
That's right. That's right.
Is that what you're calling compulsory registration?
Yeah, I'm thinking there, since it's all statutory, and statutory code is commerce and contract.
You said
Admiralty
compulsory registration. Just a moment. You said compulsory registration, and I'm asking you, are you meaning compulsory that you file it with the county recorder's office?
Right.
Is that where you need to register it?
Well, no, here's what I'm getting at, Ron.
Yes or
no
is a good answer. No, here's what I'm getting. We can't go past that. As a lawyer, you need to answer that. What do you mean when you say compulsory registration? Is there a statute in Michigan that says that you're required to have compulsory registration? And I'm going to tell you, there's no such thing. You don't have
That's what they told me at the Treasury Department.
Who told you? You have that in writing from anybody that you could send to me?
I wish I did. I didn't know that I would need it in writing.
No. Okay, well, get it in writing because I don't believe a word after that about compulsory registration. Deeds are not compulsory to be registered at the county recorder's level.
No, that's what they told me.
That's the picture in your mind. That's the problem I have with your group. That's the problem. It's in your mind. It's not in the state statute.
No, Ron.
And when you go to court,
what was he trying to say, though, after that, Ron? He was trying to say something about
What were you trying to say at the end of there?
Okay, look, all I did, I was looking for corroboration as to whether there is a state statutory mandate for recording one's private property land title. And they told me there isn't.
And I said no.
Then I asked, why does everybody do it if it's not required by statute? And
that's a question that I can answer.
But let me continue. Here's the bottom line, Ron. The intrinsic...
So wait, you asked a question. I got to answer it. Because according to the law, first in time is first in line. You could have multiple people filing a declaration of ownership of property on a individual property. Say you have five. Say you have ten. They all say they bought the property. Say the property owner sold it to 10 people online. Well, under laws, all 50 states, the first one in line that files that document at the county recorder's office is the rightful owner. The other 8, 10, 9, whatever, that, you know, come in 1 minute later. And that's why there's a time clock at the county recorder's office, and all federal and state documents that are filed have a time down to the second. Because if somebody files a document at 48.03 seconds, and another person files 148.04 seconds, claiming title to the property at the same time, the one that says 148.03 seconds trumps the 148.04. They are not valid title holders. So it's important why there's a timeline. Why it's by the second because of the fraud. And I try to tell the people that listen to me to pay attention here. Yes, there's a document recorded at the county recorder's office, and they use it as evidence in court. But it was filed, let's call it, 1 second after a former document that is the valid document. Am I making myself clear here? First in time.
Right. Okay, so that's in the public venue. Why not, look, there's what's called the monetary, economic, fiduciary rights and interests, the controlling rights and
interests. You're moving on to another subject. Let me tell you something. Well, go on here.
Right, it's interconnected.
Wait a minute. Because you need to know something. Alexander Graham Bell did not invent the, you know, Bell Corporation.
The telephone.
The guy's real name was Gray. Gray worked for Alexander Graham Bell, and Gray was just an employee. He invented the telephone and the electronic telephonic system that you would now be calling the Gray system. His employer was Graham Bell. Anyway, they raced down to Washington, D.C. to go ahead and file the patent, copyright, and trademark on the new invention called the telephone, which you and I are using right now. This telephone system that we're using, the internet, the whole world, should have been called the Gray system. Gray had to go by horse and buggy and to take his patent down there. And when Graham found out about it, he had the money and the time and the effort, and he took the train. Got there actually 2 hours ahead of Mr. Gray. Otherwise, you'd be calling it the Gray communication system. Do you see how important titles are now? That's a yes.
And the
right
legal
now.
And the legal estate is in the sestiqui trust, isn't it?
Well, would you explain that to me? Because I never understood that. What is the name of the trust that you can't pronounce? What is the name of that? I mean, what is
I don't know if it's French or Latin. It's in the statutory code. It says the legal estate.
I want to look it up.
Yeah, well, I don't have that memorized. You can look it up at Sovereign Living. This guy's on YouTube. Sovereign Living. All courts are Roman courts.
Well, would you condense that down into English for me and the listeners? What does that mean?
The legal person estate. Whomever decided to do this established what's called a constructive trust process. And whenever the birth record is recorded, the marriage license recorded, the private land title is recorded, it establishes a sestiqui trust through which the legal rights and interests, the controlling rights and interests, the monetary, economic, fiduciary rights and interests are forfeited, waived, conveyed to the corporate government entity, and they get to use it for their commercial activities without just compensation. And that's a violation of the Fifth Amendment. Private property shall not be taken for public use, government use, without just compensation. Well, that's what the constructive sestiqui trust does in all instances, without informed consent of the recording party or the so-called contracting party, who's told by lawyers, you got to do this, it's the law.
All right. Now, in my understanding, from 1975 till now, is that would be the basis for eminent domain.
All right, guys, we got about 1 minute left, so wrap up what buddy.
All I got to say here to the audience is Ron is presenting good intel data. So is the CPA guy at Beat the Bankers, Eliminate Debt, Beat the Bankers, Eliminate Debt on BitChute, and the Sovereign Living Scholarship fella on YouTube by the various titles, all statutes, our color of law statutes. He's got a series on bar members, like Ron said, bar members, and that one, Corpus Juris Secundum. Chief Justice Earl Warren said that 90% of all licensed attorneys are incompetent or on the
All right, we got to go. I might have to get him back on Friday, so give us a call earlier, Fred, okay, buddy? Sorry, Tom in Baltimore. I'll have Ron back on Friday,
Fred.
Available.
Thank you,
all right.
Fred.
Good night, everybody.
Formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.